Welcome to the Rigs Podcast. I'm your host, Sonam Engdin. First things first, we would like to thank everyone for all the love and support showered upon us for the inaugural episode, including all the valuable feedback and comments that we received. Please keep writing to us. We'll always strive to improve with every episode. In our second episode, we are honored to feature the Ambassador of India to Bhutan, Her Excellency Ruchira Kamboj. Her Excellency shares her perspectives on women leadership in the 21st century and her career in foreign service that has mostly been a male-dominated sphere until less than a decade ago. We talk on the pattern of the gender-based division of leadership that is transitioning to accommodate more women in the fields which were once considered patriarchal strongholds. There is no denying that women have sailed a long way in adding diversity to the workplace and continues to make slow yet steady strides in various leadership positions. Over the years, we have also been witnessing more women appointees in the international hierarchies and senior leadership positions across the sectors as compared to the past globally. This is gradually leveling the playing field and opening new dimensions for women altogether. We are honored and delighted to have the Ambassador of India to Bhutan, Her Excellency Ruchira Kamboj. Some of Her Excellency's achievements are nothing short of historic triumphs in breaking gender barriers by being the first to take charge of the responsibilities which were only preceded by her male predecessors. Her Excellency is the 18th and the first female Ambassador of India to Bhutan. Remarkably, Her Excellency is also the first and only woman so far in the Indian government to have been appointed as the Chief of Protocol. Her Excellency was the All India Women's Topper of the 1987 Civil Services Examinations and the Topper of the 1987 Foreign Service Batch. Her Excellency joined the Indian Foreign Service in 1987 and thereafter served in various capacities at the United Nations in New York, Commonwealth Secretariat in London, UNESCO in Paris, and South Africa and Lesotho as the High Commissioner of India. Her Excellency also writes and contributes op-eds on different topics in newspapers and magazines, some of which we had the pleasure of reading in our local newspapers. Your Excellency, welcome to the Rigs Podcast. It's a great honor to have you.
Thank you so much, Sonam. I'm equally honored to be here and to talk to your audience. And thank you very much for having me today.
Your Excellency, it's our pleasure. A career in foreign service around the world has mostly been a male-dominated sphere not so long ago, and the position of an ambassador is generally considered the most successful point or a pinnacle for a career diplomat like yourself. So what inspired Your Excellency to join the foreign service in the first place? And as the first woman ambassador of India to Bhutan, what is your perspective on the general overrepresentation of men in ambassador positions or international hierarchies globally for that matter?
Thank you, Sonam. What inspired me to join the Foreign Service? Well, for me, honestly, the Foreign Service was a dream come true. And today I get to live my dream. I was always interested in the discourse and debate of international relations. And I guess I'm very lucky that I'm practically living that dream. As far as your question on the general overrepresentation of men in ambassador positions is concerned, yes, you're right. Men have been there for a longer time than us. It took us a while to get to the top table and to have equal opportunities. But now that we have them, I think our boat is sailing upstream and things are looking better and better. And I'm quite confident and positive as, continue to move forward, women will do even better and achieve even much more.
And I'm assuming that the journey to achieving your dream, like Your Excellency said, wasn't easy as it seems or as it sounds, especially as a woman. So what were some of the challenges or stereotypes faced along the journey?
Yes, you're right. I would broadly agree with you that it's not always been easy. And neither is it as easy as sometimes we make it seem, because there's a lot of hard work and a lot of sacrifice that goes beyond, that goes behind anything that looks good from the outside, as you know. And yes, you're right, there has been stereotyping. There's also a certain narrative that is handed down by generations. Sometimes it is also about women lacking conviction in their own capabilities. So it's a mix of all of that, and it's never easy. But I'm convinced of one thing, that if you're a complete professional in the workplace, and you are able to deliver the goods, so to speak, to complete satisfaction, I think you earn and you get recognition and respect. And from there onwards, I think you're on an upward trajectory. So not that you've asked me, but if I was to give any advice, I would say be a complete professional in the workplace. There is really no gender in the workplace. And I think all the stereotyping or all the challenges, slowly, steadily, with a very professional work attitude, can make a huge difference.
Thank you for the powerful advice. I really loved what you said. Be a complete professional and there is really no gender in the workplace. Thus, moving on. As Your Excellency is aware, women representation or participation remains painfully low in the legislature and other leadership positions across every sector in Bhutan. That is despite the constitution ensuring equal rights for everyone. So what is your overall impression of women leadership in Bhutan?
So the honest answer is that I'm very impressed by the role of women in Bhutanese society. As we all know, they play a great role in community and family. But if you really look at leadership positions, you don't have to look very far today. You have an excellent role model in Linpo Dechen Wangmo. And we all know through this very testing period of COVID, she has played such an immense leadership role. And I think she inspires a lot of confidence. I've personally had the privilege of meeting her on several occasions. And she comes across as a beautiful balance of an extremely capable woman, yet with a very, who has a very firm hand on the tiller, yet at the same time, she's very compassionate and kind. So I think she's a wonderful role model for all Bhutanese women and indeed for women across the globe. Again, if you look at the Bhutanese parliament, you have quite a few women MPs all playing a strong role. And I'm aware also that before Linpo Dechen, there was another very respected lady minister in the previous government. I've also had the privilege during my stay here now to meet some very remarkable Bhutanese women. Kunzang Namgyel, she was the former chief of protocol, very impressive personality. Then there is Karma Hamudorji. I've again had the privilege of meeting her on several occasions. Wonderful person. And Ugyen Dema, Bhutan's first lady pilot. I was so impressed in talking to her. Dorji Om, who's just a package of energy, so dynamic, from the YDF, as you know. So Bhutan has a list of very impressive women. And quite recently, I've also had the privilege of meeting some lady diplomats. And one of them had also returned from a training in India. And she struck me as so bright and alert and well-informed, you know. In fact, I told my junior colleagues in the Indian embassy that what a wonderful role model she is. And I'm sure she'll rise to great heights in the Bhutanese Foreign Service. So Bhutan is doing extremely well. As I said earlier that, you know, the men have been around for a longer time. So it takes a bit of time to catch up. But I think given a chance, they're doing as well, if not better, I would say, than anyone else.
Your Excellency, as much as I hate to reveal this, but the pool of those women in leadership positions, like the few ones Your Excellency just mentioned, are still small, when we know there should be more women coming forward. So what interventions do you think would be useful to ensure a level playing field in all the sectors, including more women participation in the parliament?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. The numbers are smaller, but as I said, they're bound to be small at this stage because we are catching up and we will catch up. That's the good news. I think you need to enable, encourage and empower women more. And with these role models, you know, leading the way, I think, you know, that is already a start. And, you know, I really like what you said, that all women need today is a level playing field. I don't think they're asking for any preference or any privilege. All they ask is a level playing field, to be given an opportunity to self-actualize, to self-realize. And it wasn't there until quite recently. It is there now. And I think women are doing so exceptionally well now. Let me give you a tiny example. My own country, India, we've had women in very strong positions, in leadership positions, right from the beginning. And today we have two very leading personalities in the Indian government, the finance minister, and also the minister for women and child development, who are truly inspirational for all of us. Our former foreign minister was also a very inspirational lady. And if you look at all segments, all fields, women are shining in India as they are in Bhutan. And to give you a tiny example, because Ugyen Dema comes to mind, you know, the women pilots percentage in India is twice that of the global average. So that's just a tiny example of, despite being latecomers, women are second to nobody once they are given a chance.
True, Leela. Like Your Excellency said, we don't have to look very far today to find inspirations when we have such pool of exceptional Bhutanese women leaders in the country and Indian women achieving such great heights just across the border. Your Excellency, as someone who has held various leadership positions in your career in the Foreign Service, someone who has traveled the world and interacted with renowned leaders, especially inspiring women leaders, so how do you think has the role of women leadership evolved over time? And what are your perspectives on women leadership in the 21st century?
So you're right, the role of women leadership has evolved tremendously over time, from being not there at all, from not mattering at all. There was a time when we did not even matter, when our opinions were not taken, when opportunities were not there. We've come a long way to a point where women's empowerment or upliftment, call it what you may, is now a priority for most governments. And where women empowerment is also a United Nations Sustainable Development Goal, as you know.
Sure.
So clearly we've come a long way. As far as, you know, my perspectives on women leadership in the 21st century, I think, honestly, this is my personal view. I think women have to be given an equal chance. That is happening more and more across the globe. It has to happen more and in many more places. And I think that is all that women ask for, an equal opportunity. I do not believe personally that this should be a man versus woman thing. I think it is just a question of giving a woman equal opportunity to make her own choices, to make her own decisions. And I think that is all that women seek, essentially. Very often it is portrayed as something else, but it is not that something else. Women don't want any preference or for it to be made easy for them. I think they just need an opportunity, a chance, an enabling environment to just let them go out there, perform and to shine. And I think more and more this is happening wherever you see in Bhutan. I mean, look, you yourself are a woman who's doing a fabulous job. And I've given the example of some outstanding women in Bhutan that I've met. There are many others, obviously, that I haven't met who are doing an equally fantastic job. And in my own country, I gave some examples. So wherever women are given a chance and opportunity, I find personally they bring so much integrity and honesty and sincerity to the table that they do very, very well.
So in this regard, Your Excellency, how do you think equal, if not more, women representation in leadership positions will benefit the world?
Yeah, well, you know, if you look at it, you know, women make up 50% of the world's population. So to my mind, there is no question. How can you have progress? How can you have development? How can you have anything if you do not give that 50% of humanity an equal chance? And, you know, you would have heard of that famous saying, you know, if you educate a man, you educate a man. But if you educate a woman, you educate a generation. So I think, you know, the role of women in changing and influencing their home structure, their families, and ultimately societies is undeniable. So I think that any society that gives women an equal chance clearly is on an upward growth trajectory.
Thank you, Your Excellency. As you are aware, some of the women leaders around the world have been lauded for their leadership in dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic, such as the leaders of New Zealand, Denmark, Finland, Germany, just to cite a few. So what do you think are some of the attributes of women leaders that helped them handle a crisis such as the current pandemic?
So, you know, this might sound a very cliche response, but it is a fact, I feel at least, that women are very good, quite adept at doing several things at the same time. Because since the beginning, you know, we've been playing the eternal double role, working inside and working outside houses and doing a pretty good job in both places. So I think women are good at multitasking. It's not entirely a pleasurable job. It's quite testing, but they do a good job of that. I think women are quite strong. We all know that. I personally think they are compassionate, and they bring a lot of honesty and integrity to the table. And, you know, they are, you would have heard of that famous quote by Eleanor Roosevelt, a woman is like a tea bag. Till you don't put her in hot water, you don't know how strong she is. So I think these are tremendous attributes, you know, strength, honesty, integrity, multitasking and compassion. And I think women bring all of that, which is not to say that the other gender doesn't. Please don't get this wrong. But we are talking about women today. And as a woman myself, I find that these are some of our strengths.
Lasa, thank you very much, La Your Excellency. Very beautifully put. It has been reported globally, and of course, Bhutan is not an exception, that the pandemic has disproportionately affected women even more as the primary caregivers at home. How do you think policymakers or the government in Bhutan could leverage the pandemic to engage women in the recovery plans that can help, that can minimize the risks of disruption in the women representation and at the same time empower them?
So I think that's a very good question, and I'm personally happy you answered, you asked me that question. But I would say the answer lies within your own country. And I'm so very pleased to say that, you know, some of these issues are being tackled by Bhutan. So you would recall that in June 2020 this year, the UNFPA Goodwill Ambassador, Her Majesty, the Queen Mother, the Royal Queen Mother, Ashi Sangye Chodun Wangchuk, had addressed the nation, alerting the need for policy makers to prioritize gender-based violence prevention and survivor support in the COVID-19 response. And Her Majesty had spoken both to policymakers and the communities, raising awareness to this hidden pandemic. And you also know that the National Commission for Women and Children in Bhutan and your Ministry of Health are leading efforts currently to address gender-based violence and child protection issues. And you know, we all know that during this crisis, medical risks such as threats from the virus are not the only thing to which women are exposed. Other risks to people who are vulnerable in society are brought to light as well. And one of them has been violence against women and children. And, you know, Bhutan has been quick to address these concerns through some of the initiatives that I've mentioned above. And I'm also very pleased to add that the National Commission for Women and Children, whose director is, of course, a woman, a very capable woman, Kunsang Lamo. They have launched measures that focus on socially vulnerable groups. For example, I understand that they had recently aired a documentary regarding domestic violence on BBS to raise awareness about violence prevention. And from amongst the civil society organizations, Renew is also on the ground bringing much needed assistance, including shelter to survivors. So your country, in fact, has been performing brilliantly. And I mean that so very sincerely.
Lasa, thank you, La Excellency. Thank you very much. And I'm sure there are thousands of girls and younger women out there who admire and look up to you, just like one myself, including younger boys and men, of course. Many of who aspire to achieve great feats in their lives like you have. So what advice would you like to give to this younger generation?
Thank you so much, Sonam. So very kind and generous of you. I'm not too sure whether I deserve that. But since you've asked me this question, and many people have asked me this question, you know, what advice could I give to younger women and girls, of course? And my answer is very short and simple always. Work hard and you will get lucky.
That's a simple yet powerful advice indeed, La. Thank you, Lexinsi. Thank you very much, La. Perhaps my final question, La. So as the first female ambassador of India to Bhutan, what legacy or lasting footprints do you wish to leave behind?
Yeah, well, you know, I honestly think that, you know, a legacy is related to a very famous person, a very tall personality, so I don't see myself as either. But since you've asked me the question, I will answer that. Yeah. I think the only way I would like to be remembered, if at all, here is that I was a good foot soldier who worked very honestly and hard till the very end.
With this, we come to the end of our conversation. Thank you very much, Your Excellency. It has been a great honor speaking with you. And likewise, thank you for all the profound and powerful messages to our younger generation. It has been a truly inspiring and a very empowering talk from the beginning.
Thank you so much, Sonam. It was a pleasure for me to be in your program. My good wishes to all your listeners and to you personally also. And look forward to meeting you in person soon. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Your Excellency. Thank you to all our listeners for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the conversation. Do tune in for the next episode of the RICS podcast, featuring a special series to commemorate the 113th National Day of Bhutan. Until then, do keep warm, follow COVID-19 safety protocols, and take care of yourselves.